Is he going to condemn you when he already died as your condemnation? The only condemnation you'll ever know is the one that he experienced. Then he goes a step further. Shall Christ condemn you, the one who was raised? What does he mean? On the cross, he blotted out our sins, and it was affirmed by his resurrection. And he says, because I live, you shall live. Then he said, look, Paul does, if you can't see that he can't condemn you in the cross because it's already been done, then look at the resurrection. He promised you in his resurrection that you would live. Now, is he going to kill you? Is he going to take away that promise? He died for the covering of your sin. He rose to provide your eternal life. He's done all that. Is he going to undo that? That's his point. He died, your condemnation paid. He rose, your eternal life guaranteed. Third thing he says in verse 34, who is at the right hand of God? You say, what does that mean? Look, he's been exalted to the right hand of God. He's been exalted. Why did God exalt him? God exalted him for two reasons. One, he bore the penalty of sin on the cross. Two, he triumphed in the grave. It was a perfect work and God exalted him. Now, you ask the question, is God going to have to send him back down and give him a low seat because the thing which he supposedly accomplished on the cross is going bad? All of the glory and the honor forfeited? The Father lifted him to his right hand because of his perfect work. Are we now to believe that his work wasn't so hot after all, and a bunch of people that he died to save and got saved once are all losing their salvation? And the Father's going to send him down a few notches? No, he paid the perfect penalty, bore the condemnation, and because of what he himself bore, he will never condemn those whose condemnation he bore, and he will never kill or give death to those to whom he has already given life, and he will never forfeit the glory the Father gave to him at his right hand. And lastly, he says about Christ in verse 34, he intercedes for us. He intercedes for us. Constantly making intercession on our behalf. Constantly praying for us before God. Like Peter, you remember Jesus said, Satan desires to have you. That's right, Satan wants you, but I've prayed for you that your faith fail not. And there he was interceding for Peter, and that's how he intercedes for us. Yes, Satan wants us. Yes, there are human beings that want us. They want to take us away from God and Christ and take away our salvation. But Christ is ever living to make intercession for us. And he always prays according to the Father, and according to the Father's will. And as you remember in John 11:42, he says to the Father, I know that you always hear me.